Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about A Monk's Guide to Happiness by Gaylon Thubten. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book change how you think about happiness, or just confirm what you already suspected?
Hey there, Sam. Honestly, it confirms some things I've been circling around, but Thubten puts it so clearly. The big idea is that happiness isn't something that happens to you when you get what you want. It's a skill you can actually train like a muscle.
Yeah, that's the part that got me. He calls it the if-only trap, you know, if only I get that promotion, then I'll be happy. But then you get it and you're happy for like a week, and then you're on to the next thing.
Right. He compares desires to salt water. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. So chasing happiness through external stuff is fundamentally unstable. The real shift is changing your relationship to whatever's happening, not changing the world around you.
And he talked about this monkey mind, the constant chattering, jumping from thought to thought. I'm not gonna lie, I recognize myself immediately. But here's what surprised me. He says you don't need to silence it. You just need to befriend it and train it.
Exactly.
That's where meditation comes in, but he demystifies it completely. It's not some mystical thing. He calls it mental weightlifting. The core practice is just mindfulness of breathing. You sit, you focus on your breath, and then you get distracted. The moment you realize you've been distracted, that's the win.
Wait, so getting distracted is the point?
Yeah.
Because each time you notice you're distracted and gently bring your attention back, you're strengthening the muscle of presence. You're weakening the habit of distraction. It's not about having a blank mind.
Oh, that's such a relief. I always thought I was bad at meditation because my mind wanders. But he says thoughts are just clouds passing through the sky of your mind. You don't have to grab onto everyone.
Right.
And that creates a gap between the stimulus and your response. In that gap is your freedom. You can feel anger without acting on it because you see it as just a mental event.
Okay, but here's where he lost me a little at first. He says compassion is actually the key to your own happiness. That sounded a bit preachy, but then I kept reading and it makes sense. When you're constantly focused on me, myself, and I, it's actually a cramped, anxious place.
Totally. He calls it a prison of self-concern. And compassion isn't about being a doormat. It's about recognizing that we're all interconnected. When you genuinely wish others well, your own mind relaxes. It's almost selfish in the best way.
He also talks about suffering and negative emotions. And he makes this distinction between pain and suffering. Pain is inevitable. You stub your toe, you feel hurt. Suffering is the mental story you add on top. This always happens to me, why me?
Yeah, that's so powerful. With meditation, you learn to sit with the raw sensation of anger or sadness without getting caught in the narrative. You let it pass through like a wave. He calls it turning poison into medicine.
And then he goes even deeper and talks about the ego, this idea of a solid, permanent self that we're constantly defending. Through meditation, you start to see that there's no fixed you behind the scenes. It's just a collection of changing thoughts and feelings.
Which sounds scary, but he says it's actually liberating. You become less defensive, less afraid of criticism. You can make mistakes without collapsing. You're free to be a fluid, evolving person.
And he doesn't just leave it all theoretical. He gives really practical stuff, like micro-meditations, 1 to 3 minutes throughout your day, or eating lunch without looking at your phone. Just tiny pockets of mindfulness.
He also addresses our phones directly. He says they're designed to hijack the monkey mind. So he suggests boundaries, phone-free times, even a mini digital detox on weekends. Not rejecting technology, but using it with intention.
Right. And then there's the part about goals. He's not anti-ambition, but he says the problem is attachment to the outcome. If you're fixated on a specific result, you're living in the future and missing the present. Better to focus on the process and let go of the result.
Yeah, that's a game changer for me. You can work incredibly hard, but with a sense of detachment. You do your best and then you let go. That brings a kind of peace to your work.
So the whole book is really about coming home to yourself. The happiness you've been chasing out, there's already inside you, buried under mental clutter. And the path is simple, but not easy.
And he's so gentle about it.
He says you'll get distracted, you'll forget, you'll fall back into old patterns. That's not failure. It's part of the training. You just begin again, over and over, with kindness.
The one thing I'm actually taking away is that the only moment I ever have is this one. Stop waiting for the perfect future. Stop regretting the past. Just take a breath and be here now.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with 6,000 plus fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
We'll see you in the next one.
Take care, everyone.